in prisoner's chains with bleeding stripes. Paul and Silas, let's pray that night, and in the pain began to see the chains were loose. I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the truth.
You richly.
Amen.
God bless you richly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It should be something that makes you, jump. Amen. God bless you is not a light word. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you find you are in time so hard in life, just remember, reach out by faith to those highs unknown. And remember, you are never alone. He promised that he'll never leave or forsake you. Amen. That time you are going through, whether it's psychological or mentally or physical or financially, reach out by faith.
Amen.
You are not alone.
Amen.
He is with you. Remember that story of that man who was complaining because when he was shown the steps of his life story, he could see that there were two steps every time on the way. But at one stage, he could see only two footprints on the sand. There was no four, as usual, And he was told that the time he was seeing only the footprints of one person on the sand, it was the time he was going through very hard time. It was the difficult time in his life. And he told the Lord, "Lord, why did you forsake me on my time of need?" The Lord told him, No, I was carrying you.
Amen.
Amen. That's why you see only two footsteps. because I was actually carrying you. Amen. Just remember you are not alone.
Amen.
That time will pass. Amen. We have all gone through that. We are even still going through some of this, but we are faithful to the Lord. And the Lord is faithful. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for granting us another Sunday morning to come to our place of appointment to meet and fellowship with you, O Lord. Bless your people for come. Some have made it from very far, O Lord. While we were still sleeping, they were on the streets. They were on the roads, O Lord. Bless them for the sacrifice, O Lord. Bless those who are still coming, O Lord. Let your angel keep and protect them, Heavenly Father. Bless our fellowship, bless our meeting as we commit it into your name, into your hands, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, Brother Sasha. Happy to see you again. Brother Henry, God bless you. It has been a couple of Sundays we didn't see you. God bless you. Happy to see you. And anyone else, God bless you. Let's read in 1 Kings chapter 19. We are still talking about our topic, the days of Elijah. 19 from verse 13 and 14. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. We are still talking about that, the days of Elijah, our top main topic. Last week, I think we spoke about promotion of evil, how evil is being promoted. We are still on that. But today, our subtopic will be breaking the foundations.
Amen.
Amen. Because evil needs to be portrayed as good, and good be portrayed as evil. So we need to find a way, because society in the time of Elijah, it didn't just go from overnight, from, you know, respecting, honoring the servants of God to slaughtering them. It didn't go from prohibiting sin and standing against evil to adoring evil. There was a strategy. It took some, you know, strategy, some way to get to that point. And the same thing has happened in our age. So we saw last time that it was a very well-prepared marketing plan. They just wanted to sell evil to us and to change our perception. The aim, the goal was to change society perception of good and evil, to take them from considering abortion, sin, homosexuality, premarital sex, and all these things, from considering them as something to fight, something to ban, something evil killing the society, to something to making them values that we should defend, that we should die for, to what we have today. Because remember, in the very society we are living here, a few years back, you know, homosexuality, masturbation, and they were banned in the society. They were stoning people for doing that. But today it is claimed. Today it is, you know, sung as people who do that, they are seen as heroes or victims, you know. So we just need to see how it went from point A to point B. The aim was to change people's feelings, you know, the bad feelings that you associated to these things, to transform them in good feelings. And the good feelings you had, the society had towards the word of God, to change it into something shameful. So it was a real well-studied campaign, you know. Wanted to create something new. Any way they wanted to do it, using lies, twisting the truth, using science, using universities, using the media, the final goal was to transform society. Amen. So that's what brought what they call in the 1960s the sexual liberation or sexual revolution. Because before that, you couldn't buy a newspaper and seeing a naked woman, a picture. It was taboo in society. You couldn't, you know, access all those things publicly. But they said, no, we need to normalize these things. Public nudity, pornography, premarital sex, homosexuality, masturbation, alternative forms of sexuality, contraception, and legalization of abortion. Because they were working on all ends. Because if you claim sexual liberation, out of the sexual liberation, pregnancies will come. But those are undesired pregnancies. So we need to find a way that we can advance this side without, you know, making harm on the other side. So we need to advance sexual liberation. People can do whatever they want, but what about undesired pregnancies? Then they are pushing the other agenda towards abortion and contraception. So it was working all together. So what did they do? The prophet speaks about it in the invasion of the United States. That was 1954. You know, sometimes these titles, you know, the prophet preaches them. We don't really understand what was going on the spiritual realm. But you will see that this was 1954. But just the previous year, 1953, something had happened in the physical realm. Even a few years before, the prophet says, look back on there in the beginning over in France. There is where ordinariness and filth first began. And you know ordinariness. The prophet used a strong word there. Someone, I went to find it because myself, I didn't know what it was, you know. He said, ordinariness, the dictionary says, use the non-ordinariness to talk about the quality of being stubborn. You might refuse to babysit a mean and obstinate child again after experimenting his ordinariness. When a person is ordinary, he refuses to listen to reason and seems willfully determined to do the opposite of what you'd like him to do. So that began in France, the rejection of what is good. He said, if there ever was a rat hole in the world, it's Paris, in France. That 1953. That's where it began. And I've pretty near traveled most of it. Then what did they do? What happened? The devil set up his headquarters there. There is where it started, right there, to demoralize the world from Paris, France. You may wonder, why does the prophet? We know that it's Hollywood, we know that it's America, but why France? In 1953, America was not polluted yet. Amen. It was France, actually. I went to search why the prophet was saying that. I found this article here. Doesn't move. Girly Mags, it was signed in 2008, but they are talking about these things of sexual revolution and why nudity has become so something that we people, you know, are celebrating in society. They say 55 years ago, sex went mainstream. This was in 2008. Since debuting in December 1953, you remember when the prophet is talking about the invasion of the United States in 54. In 1953, with a snapshot of Marilyn Monroe gracing its cover. That was the very first time that a woman you know, photograph of a nude woman appeared on a magazine. Now, next one. This is just, I took from that article. So after the art of photography emerged in the mid-19th century, photographing naked women became one of the first orders of business. The French ruled the early days of pornography publishing, distributing programs for Parisian cabarets adorned with topless dancers as early as in the 1870s. So when the prophet is saying that it started in France, this is the history behind it. It really started there when they started promoting naked women and pornography and all these things. It started in France. America was still pure in these years. But since it was a very lucrative business, they wanted to import it into America. But that time, America was still a very Christian conservative country. They tried to import it, but the laws, the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the Congress, they said no. This thing, and they edicted a very strong law against those. There was a man there. Can I go to the next one? While some Americans attempted to import racy materials from Europe, because that time France was the source, the industry was blunted in the U.S. by the Comstock Act in 1873. That restricted the transport of obscene literatures through the mail. So that was the block now. In America, people wanted to do business with women nudity. People wanted to do business with homosexuality, with pornography. It was very lucrative, but there was these laws in America. They couldn't, because America was well built and established on the Ten Commandments, on the principles of the founding fathers, which was the Bible. So they couldn't accept these things to come and defile America. They passed this act in 1873 when they found that the influence from France started now coming to corrupt America. This man they are talking about here, Comstock, he was a Christian man. Next one. A devout Christian, he was appalled by what he saw in the city streets. This thing started now invading America. It seems to him that the town was teeming with prostitutes and pornography. In the late 1860s, Comstock began supplying the police with information for raids of sex trade merchants and came to prominence with his anti-obscenities crusade. So America was not the country that we see today. They were pursuing the police and people and the church teamed up together everywhere that they were promoting pornography and obscenities. The police will come, raid and confiscate the materials and throw it and burn it and stuff, send people to jail. And next one, sister. And this man came up with a law that they passed on the Congress, which was making it a federal offense to disseminate birth control through the mail or across the state lines. So this was actually this law that was impeaching them, that was stopping them from importing those things from France. And they couldn't prosper. They couldn't do good business. Now they had to find a way, to bypass. Amen. They had to find a way, because the society was so anchored in the principles of the founding fathers, the Bible, against sin. And they say the solution now is to attack the principles of the founding fathers. Amen. We have now, because America is so anchored on its Judeo-Christian values, we have now to make people reject those values. That was now the fight now. In the early 1900s and all those early years, the goal was now to make America shift from believing the Bible, from putting their faith, their confidence on where they were founded, the principles of the founding fathers, they had to find a way to break these foundations. Because once they break the foundations, people will be open now to accept everything. That was the job they had to do. And the way to do it, next one, sister. Yeah, the major obstacle they found was the centrality of the moral values based on the Bible. Believing the Bible was against promoting pornography. And they couldn't make money. While in France, people were making money. So they had to find a way. So the solution was to shift them from believing in the Bible, from putting their faith in God. Because that was the main obstacle. And, you know, I think in 2018, I spoke on these things. I took my slides from back then. They funded big, you know, scientific researchers to come up with conclusions, to come up with results that will, you know, because when it has the scientific seal on it, people will believe. They funded people to go and come do and researches and do surveys and just to let people, to make people believe that your view of society is not what's really happening. You know, your view of these Judeo-Christians, those biblical values that we seem to defend are not the right thing. Things on the scientific realm are different. So the people like the Rockefeller, people like the Carnegies and stuff, they went and funded big scientific researches and so that those people can come up with conclusions. Since those conclusions come from big universities like Harvard, like those big, big, renowned universities, it will never be contested. It will never be put to question. And that will be the basis of starting to change society. So one of them, next one, sister, this man here, Alfred Kinsey, he did his research. And even before he made the publication of his research, he was against the sexual restrictions in society. His views was about sexual liberty. You know, remove Christian influence in America and eliminate sexually repressive legacy. That was the aim. That was the goal. And he went to do his research, his surveys, based on his, you know, convictions that people shouldn't be living by these principles, that by these rules. So he went to do his so-called research, and he came up, next one, in 1948, he published the first book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. 1953, the second one, in the Human Female. So these two books, if you go and do research, all the filthiness we have today, this is the foundation. This is the basis. Because this man up to today is revered as, you know, the source of authority in this matter. He came up with conclusions that the world, you know, the founding fathers, if they were alive, they would go red. But America acclaimed him because this was scientifically based evidence. The goal was to change society perception of good and evil. People must be free to live their sexual life as they think. So what did this man come up with solution? This was his findings. That after his surveys, 95% of total male population in America are sex criminals. Meaning what? That if 95%, let's say 95% of us male here, almost all of us, we are, according to his findings, we are sexual criminals. So in America's sexual life, the things they do every day that they consider being good for him, people were actually sexual offenders. The aim was what? To change the law. Amen. The goal was to change the law because for him, If we want to apply the law as it stands, we'll put 95% of American people in jail. It means the law is not adapted to society. 85% of men had premarital intercourse. I'll show you where did he find these results from. He went and interrogated sex offenders in jails, people who had been pedophiles all their life. This is you know, source of information. You'll see. He didn't go on the street and, you know, survey the normal American people. His sample data was prisoners, sex offenders, promiscuity, people engaged in this, all kind of perversions. This was his raw data. And so many things it came up. For women, what did he say? 87% of single women abort. So the goal was what? The law is condemning abortion. But in practice, 87% of women abort. So why should the law remain the way it is? If we keep the law the way it is, 87% of women will go to jail. So what society are we living in? We need to change the law. That was the goal of his search, of his finding. 25% of married women, 50% of women premarital intercourse, 25% so this had a boomerang effect in America. Because it was so advertised, it was so publicized, that people started questioning now themselves. This is the society we are living in. So we are all hypocrites. Actually, we are trying to conform to the law, but people are doing these things. So that was the goal, to make people doubt, question the society they are living in. And people start to consider, okay, actually, these things that we do, we seem to say it's wrong, it's sin, people still do it. So this is the true image of our society. We need then to start a discussion about changing our perception. That was the goal. Let's go to the next one. This was one of his conclusions, that pedophiles are misunderstood. Their punishment is too severe and unjust. Amen. That was after his findings. That we shouldn't condemn pedophilia. It's something normal. Give me the next one. His explanation after his finding of pedophilia. He said, it is difficult to understand why a child, except for its cultural conditioning, should be disturbed by having its genitalia touched. Or disturbed at seeing the genitalia of other persons. Or disturbed at even more specific sexual contacts. This is the man who is revered up to today. He has a big statue of him in the university where he was. I don't know, in Tennessee or whatever. And they celebrate his birthday. Big celebration in that university every day. Well-respected person. This is his views on pedophilia, on sexuality. Next one. Adult contacts are not likely to do the child any appreciable harm if the child parents do not become disturbed. For him, the harm of pedophilia is in the reaction of the parents. The child is fine. Even if he goes into pedophilic relationship or whatever, the child is okay. But it's when society reacts now. When the parents come and start panicking, that's what harmed the child. So we need to change the parents' perception of pedophilia. You get the point. Next one. Some of the most experienced students of juvenile problems have come to discover that the emotional reaction of the parents, police officers, and other adults who discover that a child has been in such contact may disturb the child more than the sexual contact themselves. You get it, yeah? It's actually us to blame. It's not the pedophiles, not the child, but it's society. It's when you react, when the policeman comes and starts investigating, that disturbs the child, and the child starts now to realizing that the act was bad. But according to his finding, children enjoy pedophilia, and we should let them. You see where we came from and to where we are today. Next one, maybe. This was his sample data. The people he based his conclusions on. 5,300 people interrogated altogether. Half of them were convicts, criminals. 946 homosexuals. So tell me, how can you come to a different conclusion if you interrogate this kind of people? Special homosexuals, those people that he went to find the worst of the homosexuals, having 100 or more partners, he went and interrogated them. He interrogated even mental ill people. So his conclusions came from these 117 mental ill people. 655 boys and others. Go back to the next. Respectable women were reluctant to take part in the survey. So he didn't interrogate true women in society. He interrogated prostitutes. Prostitutes were counted as normal women. That's according to his finding. The last one, we're going to stop there. Now this was his conclusions. Based on these conclusions, that's what regulates our society up to today. Everything that we see today, it's based on these conclusions. Even this sexual education that they are trying to push on our children in schools, this is the foundation of the conclusions. Fornication, adultery, sodomy, bestiality, child sexual abuse, they are normal and harmless private sexual acts. That's what he concluded. And it is accepted in the scientific world up to today. Children are erotic from birth. They are unharmed by sex with adults. They are harmed by sexual repression. So if there was no repression, if there was no negative reaction of society, children would be happy. And the last conclusion, he said, sex crime legislation is completely out of touch. It doesn't reflect our society. Sorry, just 1 minute. It is unenforceable, and the law attempts to forbid an activity which responds to a wide human need. Amen. So this is what fashioned our society today. This was 1953. And from that moment on, remember, we are talking about the promotion of evil. How good, evil became good, and good became evil. The vision, perception of evil in society had to be changed. And they went and took the best scientific, researchers and the best universities and published these conclusions. And from that moment on, America started breaking boundaries. Amen. America started breaking all the boundaries because all the sexual taboos that the society was built upon, it was being broken by these conclusions, scientifically proved. From that moment on, we'll see how now people started now accepting these things that were seen as bad, as evil, as taboos. People start now normalizing them up to where we are today. Amen. Let's stop there. And if God gives us another opportunity, we'll say a bit more. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit now the remainder of our service into your hand. Bless us, O Lord, as we are preparing to worship you, as we are preparing to be fed by them in the main service, O Lord. Bless your servant who he is preparing and who has put himself aside to be a minister and ministering for your people, O Lord. Bless us as we commit the rest of the service into your hand. Heal our diseases, O Lord. Grant us the deepest desire of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.